who taped CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. This is the 2007 Passover Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, April the 8th, 2007. Clement Humbard is the speaker of this service, teaching on Christ is Resurrection.
Well, it's a privilege to have Brother Clement in town this weekend, and so he's going to come and minister the word, and when he concludes, why, he will take charge of the communion, and we'll come and help serve it. Brother Clement.
Stand again for the reading of the word, please. This is the fourth gospel, the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 25, very familiar. Jesus said unto her and to Martha, this is concerning the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I'll ask this audience, do you believe this? Amen. Father, we look up. Believers, look up. Bible said when you pray, lift holy hands without wrath and without doubting. We're not legalistic, but believers ought to look up. The Bible said Jesus looked up and said, Father, sure, you can fall before God and bow before Him in humility, but Christians ought to look up. This is Resurrection Sunday. Look up. Everything on this earth was changed through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely nothing remained the same. Darkness turned into daytime. Defeat turned into victory. Sorrow into joy. Trouble into the peace of God. Everything changed because God raised Jesus from the dead. What a day to preach on the resurrection. But I will not preach on resurrection. I'd waste your time and my time. I am going to preach on the resurrector. Jesus said, not only about a resurrection, we have too many sermons about Christ, but not Christ. Too many sermons about God, but not God. Paul didn't say that he preaches about Christ. He said that he preached Christ. And there's a lot of difference. One is for your head, but the other's for the spirit and the mind and the soul and the real essence of man. Jesus Christ said, I am resurrection. I am life. Look up, Lord, we thank You and praise You. We look unto Thee, the author and the finisher of our faith. The great I am, the miracle worker, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father, the Son of God, the Son of David. Oh, my Lord and my God, we praise You, we worship You. Thank You, Lord, for the resurrection power. Thank God that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Thank God for this hope that death itself cannot destroy. And Lord, it's Your word. You said here that You're the resurrection, You're the life. And if we believe, though we were dead, we'll live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Thank You, Lord. The sentence of death and the fear of death is gone. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Be seated. Praise God. This is wonderful. If He says, I am resurrection, I can say it too. He's the Son of God and we're sons of God. He's the light of the world. And He said, you are lights in this world. 2 Corinthians, I believe 5:21 said, he that knew no sin became sin, the very principle of sin. That's why darkness covered the cross. human eyes could not behold when God the Father turns His back on God the Son. Darkness covers this universe. It wasn't just the absence of light. It's all the powers of hell. I can hear hell rejoice when Christ gives up the ghost and says, Father, it's finished. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. But immediately through the courts of hell, a shaft of light. And He, before He ascended, He descended into the heart of the earth and led captivity captive and gave gifts to men also. 3 full days and 3 full nights later, the Shekinah glory hit that tomb. In Romans 6:4 it said, God raised Jesus from the dead by the glory. The Shekinah glory hit. And that stone was rolled away. Soldiers became like dead men. You must believe in the personal bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. He wasn't in a swoon. He wasn't in a slumber or sleep. He wasn't in a coma. If you do not believe in the virgin birth and the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are not a Christian at all. You are not. God places the 2 greatest miracles that ever staggered the imagination of mankind or dipped down into the surface of this law-bound earth right at the household of faith, and I can't even get in if I don't believe in miracles. See, Christianity is a supernatural, quote-unquote, religion. It's really not a religion. The word religion means superstition. You can go out here on a mountain and bray at the moon and be religious, but let me tell you, you've got to believe in the virgin birth and the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ to get in the household of faith. God put the 2 greatest things right at the beginning. If you would believe and confess that God raised Jesus from the dead. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15th chapter that our faith is all in vain, and what piteous people we are and miserable if Christ did not raise from the dead. So just remember, He was not born of man. He was the living Son of God. In Luke 1:25, the angel Gabriel appears unto Mary and said, Blessed art thou, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Brother, I'd rather have that kind of favor than favor of men and kings and rulers and favor of the world. But she said, How can this be? And he said, The Holy Spirit will overshadow thee. That holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of the living God. In Luke 1:37, it said in King James Version, For with God nothing shall be impossible. The whole Word of God shows that. Read Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the heroes of faith. And without faith we cannot please God. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. Everything you do must be done in faith, in the spiritual realm of believing God, whether you eat or whether you drink. Do it all in the name of the Lord. But it said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe what? Amen. That He is. Now notice this. I heard a minister, God bless him, right here in this city, in a big church. And he took that text Sunday morning, but he left off part of it. I stood in line to correct him. But you know, he's receiving the accolades, that what you call it, of people, you know, oh, how wonderful, doctor, what a beautiful sermon. I don't want you to brag on the sermon, I want you to brag on the Savior. And if you leave here talking about the minister and not talking about the Son of God, the resurrection, the life, then I've missed it completely, or you've missed it, or both of us missed it. This minister, though, and you were there, and he said this. He said, without faith it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. It didn't say that. It said, you've got to believe God is. He is who He says He is. And then He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him for things. It still didn't say that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then these things shall be added. It said this, without faith it is impossible. Please God, he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. If you're always seeking God for things, you're still in that little babyhood Christianity. You've never grown up. You still want the milk of the Word. Actually, believers today, it's not even the milk of the Word. It's the water of the Word they want. Water the Word. And Paul said, I'd give you some strong meat. I'd give you some strong doctrine, but you're not able to bear it. You're just little babes. You won't grow up. Little babes, gimme, 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 four, gimme, gimme, Lord, gimme, 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 four, gimme. Listen here, the church since the Reformation has wasted 500 years keeping all of the church members in babyhood and telling what God can do instead of who God is and who they are in Christ. Did you hear me? Because those, now, I'm not off my subject, those two miracles, the virgin birth and the bodily resurrection, if you really believe them unreservedly, 100% soul, spirit, mind, and body, and risk your eternal destiny upon this fact that God raised Jesus from the dead and he had a supernatural birth conceived by the Holy Spirit, and that baby is of God. Then what? If you really, 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 absolutely without reservation believe that, that ought to settle it once and for all. You ought to get up salvation from that moment, believing God and trusting Him for everything. And there shouldn't be a Christian in this place seeking healing. Even me, I shouldn't be seeking healing. We should walk in divine health with Almighty God. And you should be out healing the sick. Did you hear me? It's not for ministers. It's not for those that have special talent. Jesus sent forth the 12th and said, heal the sick. He didn't even say, pray for them. I know most of you hate me for when I preach this way, but study the Gospels. It's not in there. He never said one word. Jesus Christ said, go and pray for the sick. He didn't say it. He said, go heal the sick. In the book of Acts, you don't find them praying for the sick. You find them walking by like Peter and saying this, get up. Jesus makes you well. Make up your bed and carry it out of here. You find them at the gate of the temple and the lame man, and they take him by a hand and say, silver and gold, we don't have any. People said, they know that's Pentecostal preachers because they didn't have anything. But I've heard that a holiness man preached and said he knows their holiness because they didn't have anything. And one time I heard a leading Baptist say, we know they were Baptists because they said, we don't have any silver and gold. Well, he said, silver and gold we don't have, but such as we have. Don't you get sick and tired of everybody stumbling around and say, us poor little Christians, we don't have nothing. You know, we're just so weak, we're so feeble. Well, Jesus said, go and tarry in Jerusalem till you receive nothing from on high. Luke 24:49. What did he say? You shall receive power. How about in Acts, the first chapter? He said, you'll receive nothing in a few days. He said, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So you ought to settle it. Maybe you're never really converted. Maybe I'm not really converted. Because I understand if I believe those two greatest miracles, it's settled now. I'm walking in faith. I'm seeing the invisible. Come on now. I'm hearing the inaudible. I'm touching the intangible. You know, I'm speaking the eternal. I'm believing the unbelievable. I'm doing the miraculous. I'm holding to the unchangeable. I'm dreaming the impossible. Because we have a God of miracles and we're children of God.
And what God begets through the Holy Spirit is like God, and if we're not like God, we just think we know God. Now stay with me. I mentioned ye shall receive power. You remember the time I took you into the Lord's Prayer? And I had you to hold up your hand and say, for thine is the kingdom. You said it. Thine is the power. You said it. Thine is the glory. You said it. I said, now lift your hand and say, mine is the kingdom. And everybody, no. But Jesus said in Luke 12:32, he said, fear not, little flock, I give you the kingdom. Hey! What did Romans 14:17 say? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but is righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Either you have the kingdom or don't have the kingdom. You're part of the kingdom or not the part of the kingdom. So you lift your hand and say, Lord, thine is the kingdom, but thank God I'm one of your little children and mine's kingdom too, and I'm going to walk in it. Come on. That next one said, thine is the kingdom, thine is the power. Boy, I couldn't get anyone in the audience to say that. But I've already covered that. He said, I give you power. Either Jesus is lying or we're lying. Now, who's lying? God cannot lie. And he said, I give you the power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, he said. So we lift our hands and say, Lord, you're all powerful. And it's not our power, but it's your power, but thank God. If God says we have something, why don't we declare we have it and claim we have it? And then that last one, boy, no one's going to go with me on that, but you better get the awesome glory. I didn't even know we had any books, and believe it or not, early this morning I found, after 20 minutes sleep last night. Well, as you walk with God, you get your days and nights all mixed up. Sometimes you're yesterday and today's and tomorrow's. That's a subject in itself, but I can base it on God's Word. Because God is past, present, future. Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. And sometimes Christians, and you know, you live in the prophetic, you live in tomorrow, and you don't even know you're doing it. Others have to tell you. Have to come and say, Sister Bernadine, you know, you didn't say, thus saith the Lord. You didn't even know it. But you were talking like something already happened. It happened a week or two later, the next day. But Jesus said in John 17, that great memorial prayer. Boy, going sore that he prayed 5 times under different situations for the Father, I pray that my little ones will be one, even as you and I are one, that the world may believe and so forth. But there in verse 22, he said, Father, that glory that I had before the foundation of the world, I'm asking you to restore that glory. Because I have manifest thy name. In Hebrews, the second chapter, I believe verse 12, and Psalms 22:22, it speaks that I will lead the congregation in praise to God. That's going to be fulfilled. I've only seen it one time in my lifetime. A whole congregation broke out in praise to God. I packed and jammed church in Fort Lauderdale. And I started to dismiss the congregation. The air conditioning was having trouble with it. And all the nursery and all those kids came in. The service is already 1:15. I didn't hold the audience that late. But I want to tell you, if you're one of these clock watchers, you better get a hold of God and let God show you eternity and what it's all about. You've got to take time, like the old hymn said, take time to be holy. And if you want, from this pulpit you heard yesterday, if you want this little instant this and instant that and all, you better slow down and take time for God and learn. And the Bible even said, study to be quiet. Christ said, give me this glory. And then in verse 22 there in John 17, he said, Father, this glory you've given me, I'm going to share it with my disciples. Oh, Brother Clem, we can't take any glory because we rob God of His glory. That's one of the biggest lies you and I have heard all our life. In Isaiah, God said, I will not share my glory with another. But go and read before and after what it's talking about. He addressed that verse, said, with these carved idols, I'm not going to put my glory in man-made idols of wood and stone. In other words, what he's actually saying, if you took the whole Word of God, I'm going to put my glory upon flesh and blood that's born again and filled with the Spirit. That's what he's saying. Then the other chapter about Isaiah 45, he said, I'll share my glory with another, but read all of it. I've shared it with this rebellious nation and their hardened heart and they're stubborn. And the Hebrew people in Israel had backslid, but I'm still not going to put my glory somewhere else in these heathen nations. God will share His glory. So, mine is the kingdom, mine is the power, and mine is the glory. And so, I believe in that, the miracle birth of Christ. How many do you believe in that? Then, see, then we have a miracle birth. Now, Christ said, I am resurrection. And I've already said what He is, we're becoming. See, we're sons of God. He's the Son of God. We're lights in a world. And He is the light of the world. He's the Son, but we're sons. He's the light, but we're lights. Then, for you newcomers, Psalms, I believe, 127, it said, they are for war, but I am for peace. And it didn't say that. They take different versions of the Bible and screw them all up, but the personal pronoun in Hebrew carries its own verb, doesn't need a verb. What it said, they are for war, but it says, I am. It didn't say, I am for peace. It said, I peace. And the only way to translate that in the English-speaking world at all is, I am peace. Now, God is a God of peace, and you can make peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's the Prince of Peace, and the peace of God is shown and brought in our heart by the Holy Spirit. These are old scriptures I'm giving you. But God wants you to get out of babyhood always saying, Lord, I want peace. Oh, God, I got to have peace. Let's fast and pray. Get the prayer warriors. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry, boy, we really want attention, don't we? You know what? If He's the Prince of Peace, and the psalmist said, I am peace, then I lift my hand, all the hell break loose. I practiced this for almost 50 years, and it works, friend. All the hell break loose. You can just lift your hand and say, through the mercy and grace of God, I am peace. Don't beg God. See, we keep putting ourselves on the outside. Then we fight back in. Not recognizing who God is and who we are in Christ. Our life hid with Christ in God. And we're bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. And Corinthians said that he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. You better be careful how you're walking and claiming if you're bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, my Lord, then one spirit, he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. So I am peace. You see the difference? The church should be telling the world what God can do, but the church should be telling its own who God is and who we are in Christ. It's the difference in the hand of God or the heart of God, the children of Israel wanting the heavenly manna and wanting the onions of Egypt and garlic, and they wanted the hand of God, but the Bible said Moses sought the ways of God, who God is, and God's divine nature. In 2 Peter 1:4, it said that all the promises of God, the one place in the Bible said are yea and amen, but here it said, all these promises of God are that we might be partakers of what? The divine nature. Read the rest. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. If you will escape the corruption that is in the world through lust, then the Holy Spirit can work on me and work on you for that divine nature. That's why 2 Corinthians 3:18 said, "For we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are changed, metamorphosed, like Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. We are changed into the same image." Whose image? The image of Christ. Has someone mistaken you for Jesus this week, or mistaken you for Satan? The devil. I remember my dad as a young minister. When he went to the Great California Worldwide Camp Meeting, thousands and thousands, then here in Hot Springs of Whittington Park, he thought he'd let a little beard grow and see how he looked. Well, he had piercing eyes, over 6 feet tall, and many times, like walking on a campground, a woman would faint. She thought she was seeing Jesus. Well, you know, he sort of laughed about it, but man, what a compliment. What a compliment. So see, don't say, "Oh God, give me peace, mean peace." You don't even, either the Bible is true or it's not true. It says by His stripes we're healed, doesn't it? Once you really confess that, the Holy Spirit will deal with you. There's things in your life to straighten up. He'll deal with you. He'll show you if you're obedient. But I like what our Afro-Americans do in their churches, and I often preach for them, small and great. They say, "Yes, Jesus." And you know, if you really mean that, "Yes, Jesus," that's just all you got to do. I mean it. Just fall on His mercy. And Lord, I mean it. Lock, stock, and barrel the whole thing. "Yes, Jesus." So again, in Psalms, what is it? 104 verse 9, it said that it doesn't say give myself to prayer. That's in italics. Translators, you know, thought, "Oh, this is too good to be true. We're not peace. And we're not." He said, "I prayer." Did you know your whole life can be consumed? Jesus said, "Whatsoever thing you desire when you pray," your whole life is prayer. He said, "Whatsoever thing you desire," your desires. Oh, you'll still have formal prayer. But Lord have mercy, these people that think, you know, you've got to every time address the Godhead properly. Now, Lord God Almighty, Heavenly Father that created the heaven. He knows that. You don't have to keep reminding Him of it. All you got to just say, "Lord," or "Jesus," or "Help me now." They're singing yesterday, "Hosanna." Did you ever know what Hosanna meant? Yeah, 109, Psalms 109:4, thank you. Hosanna, actually, in modern-day language, it means this: "Help us now, Lord. Help us now. Jehovah, help us." Yeah, study it. That's what it means. And don't say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Try praying sometime and call the Lord Jesus Yeshua. It won't hurt you. Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. All right. You say, "Well, bless God, that's Psalms. That doesn't apply to us." Well, go to 1 John 4th chapter while I'm on this, and then I'm going to get off of it pretty quickly. After he said, you know, every spirit's not of God, and you ought to try the spirits, then what does he start in the epistle of 1 John 4th chapter? He says a few verses in the chapter, he said, "Brother, love one another." Hallelujah. "For God is what?"
Love.
God is love. And he goes on with this discussion, and he repeats it, "God is love." And in verse 17, he says this, "As God, as He is," it says, who? God. "He is what?" He is love. "So are we in this present world." I don't try to love my enemies. I am love. And what you are, that's what it does. See, a dog doesn't have to be trained to bark. It's natural. A cow doesn't have to be trained to moo. It's natural. We get the Christians all line them up now. Bless God, here we want you to do this, that, and the other. Lord, have mercy. He that the Son sets free is free indeed. You know, I've heard so much lately again about covering, covering, covering. Who is your covering? You're not to be an independent cuss. But I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ is my covering. Many Christians don't think you have a right to worship God unless you're covered somewhere. Well, covered what? Well, under an umbrella of what? Huckleberry, strawberry, lemon, what? All of these different coverings, and they're fighting one another, and we're better than the rest of them. God has many millions of Christians on this earth that never heard of your little church or your little covering. They love the Lord just as much as you do. Praise God. So here in 1 John it said, as He, God, is what? Love. So are we in the sweet by and by. What did it say, brother? So are we in this world right now. Don't try to love your enemies. Become love. Become love. And you will love. See? A dog acts like a dog because he is a dog. We act like a Christian because we are Christians. All this other training, we better get back to the basics. Believing in Almighty God and fully surrender to God and really be born by the Spirit. Then we're a child of God and we act like a Christian because we are a Christian. See, in the Western world, it's do what you do, what you do. But the Bible is an Eastern book, and in the Eastern world, it's be. For example, Apostle Paul said in Galatians 1:15, God separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me that I might preach the gospel to the heathen. Now, three things here, and they're real basic. There's a revelation of Christ to you. That's that you might know Him. Then the next revelation is not your ministry or a gift of the Spirit, run out here and make a mess of things. It said, God separated me from my mother's womb to reveal His Son in me. He's revealed to you that you might know Him and be saved. He's revealed in you that He might work the character of a Christian out of you. You might become Christ-like. And it pleases God for His children to become like Him. In love, in patience, in thinking. Let this mind be in you, which is Christ. Then He said, to you that you might know, in you that you might be. Then through you that you might do. But boy, we grab them, don't we? We want them to do this, do that, and everything else. And we hope now that you become a real strong. And we do it all backwards. Revealed to you that you might know. In you that you might be, and through you that you might accomplish something for God. I said earlier that this is a great day to preach the resurrection Christ. But I don't preach salvation, I preach the Savior. When God, they said, raised me from the dead, I don't know, I did. If God gave me any dream or vision, I went to heaven or anywhere else, well, He erased it from my mind because I just simply didn't know anything. But God can do that. He can just erase it out of your mind, and you don't remember any of these things. But sorry, I lost my thought right here. But yes. When they said I was dead, well, a leading Baptist preacher came. He had started a new work. And he said, Clement, my two deacons here and I saw you in that auditorium downtown, and you were on the floor, and if we ever saw a dead man, you were dead. I had several people say that, the paramedics and others. Said, if we ever saw a dead man, you were dead. Well, I know God can raise the dead. My My uncle was Joe French, and he sent many books. I remember him when I was a small child. He's a master chef. He married my mother's sister, Hattie, that's a godly woman, and he couldn't whip the bottle, and he died, and she held on to his feet and screamed and yelled and said, "God, you promised Joe would be saved, and now he's dead." And the doctors tried to get her out of the room. First is one doctor at the hotel came up and pronounced him dead. Then they got, I understand, three doctors, and they said, "This man is dead." The manager of the hotel said, "You've got to remove this body." And she took her arms and pushed the covers under his legs and held on. They said, "We got to sedate this woman, get her out." And she says, "No, I don't need sedation." And believe me, he had an experience of going to hell. And brother, when he came back, you didn't have to say, "Joe, would you give your heart to sweet little Jesus?" Boy, he had been there. And he came back. Well, this Baptist preacher said, "We saw you dead, and we want you to come to the Baptist church next Sunday, and we want you to preach on healing." I said, "Well, I'm sorry, you got the wrong man." He said, "No, I know what you believe." I said, "I don't preach on healing. I don't even preach on salvation. I preach the Savior. I preach the healer." Well, they laughed. He said, "Come on." In that congregation, I asked them, I was very weak after 11 days, but thank God I walked out of the hospital without any treatment, any medication, and had one Band-Aid on me for the glory of God, and walked out completely restored through all atomic tests and everything. They said, "Oh, no, no. The only, you may not stay alive, but it's two big, powerful medicines. You got to do this and that and the other, and we got to do a quadruple or maybe more bypass and this and that and thing. But you know, all you need is just a little touch of the Master's hand." And boy, that expert there at the St. Joseph Hospital out in Atlanta, he ran out of the room and down the hall screaming, "That man has a new heart. A perfect heart." He said, "I'm only in my 40s, but if I could, I'd exchange my heart for that man's heart." It was a wonder what the Lord could do. So I went to that Baptist church, and I was a little weak, so I held on the pulpit. And I stood there and gave him seven biblical reasons why God had healed. But first, I read the text in Isaiah 53, and then I said, "Now be honest in the house of God. How many of you believe in physical healing, and it's for us today, and that God heals?" About three people lift their hand. I said, "Thank you for your honesty." At the end of that sermon, and God bless that service, I said, "How many believe that I preach you the truth and believe that healing is for us today?" For as I know, every hand went up. Every hand. But I didn't preach healing. I preached the healer. So what we're saying is the resurrection. We don't preach resurrection. We preach Christ said, "I am the resurrection." And I preached, I don't know if they still have the tape here or they ever made it into CD or not, but God really anointed. I preached one Sunday morning here, maybe four and a half years ago, "I am resurrection." I had several of the older ladies and older people from downtown Hot Springs. They heard us preaching here Sunday morning here. And I remember walking out here in my Bible. One of them said, "Yes, but what do you think of us? I'm in my 70s, she's in her 80s, and this one's in her 90s. I said, "I expect you to be mothers in the faith and believe God's stronger than any of us." And they said, "But old age is creeping up on us." Listen, get lost in Christ and forget the calendar age. People run around and say, "How old are you, Brother Humbert?" I say, "Forever young." No, don't be cute. Now tell us your age. Which age you want? The calendar age? The physical age? The mental age? The emotional age? Some people 40 or 50 years old got like a spoiled 4-year-old spoiled brat, you know, emotion. Or do you want my spiritual age? That's five of them. Which age you want? And they laugh. Forget calendar age and start walking in resurrection power. God said in Psalms, according to thy days, so shall thy strength be. And the joy of the Lord is what? Our strength. In Deuteronomy 28, it gives all of those curses, but gives the blessings and it gives the curses. Boy, they're bad. Right in the middle of that list, down to about 28, 45 or 47, you know what it says? It says, if you do not serve the God joyfully, the Lord thy God, you will serve your enemies. That's what it says. Deuteronomy 28, maybe verse
47 or 8.
Yeah, something like that. 47, 48, I had it right. Okay. Now, what enemies? Let me list some of them right quick. One is sin. I just can't quit this sinning business. Good Lord, you need kicked in the seat. I can't quit this sinning business. If you're in Christ, in Him there is no sin. Sin willfully disobeying God's law. I'm not talking about the limitations of the human body that the Holy Spirit deals with in the human mind. Maybe we hadn't made the best decision even seeking God. I'm not talking about that. But to deliberately, God says, don't do it, and you do it. God says, do it, and you won't do it. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not unto him, it is a sin. Sin is one of the enemies if you don't serve the Lord thy God with joy. Now, this is resurrection. In Matthew, the 28th chapter, Jesus appeared to his own, and guess what he said? King James said, hail! The original says, oh, joy! That's what he said. Oh, joy. Most of your Bibles, the margin, it says, oh, joy. Now, if he says, oh, joy, he had something to rejoice about. You know what he said? Abraham, in the Gospel of John, Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced in it. You know the term he's using there? You've heard Holy Jehoshaphat or whatever. They leap for joy. The Bible said in Luke 1st chapter when Mary and Elizabeth met the babe filled with the Holy Spirit and leaped for joy. A lady recently in the Spanish church said, you know, she and her husband came after service and they said, Brother Clement, you know, we lost one child and we want you to pray about this one. I said, you're not going to lose this child. God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and sound mind. Said, pray. So I took her hand and I put it on the womb. Mm-hmm. And then I took her husband's hand, then my hand on it. Mm-hmm. And just as soon as I said, oh God, the first time that baby leaped. So I was back the other day and now that she has a healthy baby. She brought a lady and said, I want you to pray for my friend here. Said she's having a little difficulty. So we went through the same thing, and guess what? The baby leaped. It leaped. First movement of that child that she recognized. But it wasn't just a movement. It leaped. Jesus said, oh, joy. And Abraham, and you know what? In persecution, what he said? Rejoice. And here again, the original term is used, leap for joy when you're persecuted and all men say evil of you. For my name's sake, not for your foolishness, but for my name's sake. Rejoice. Great is your reward in heaven. We don't obey that. Where, Brother Miller? I got to talk to him for service. All the hell has turned loose. My family's turned against me, Brother Miller. I want you to pray. We ought to just take them and lead them and stick their nose in God's Word where it said in Matthew, when you're persecuted, rejoice.
Amen.
And great is your reward in heaven. How many people have you ever seen? I got to testify, hallelujah, all hell broke loose this week. Boy, we Christians say, we've got a nut in our crowd. No, we don't. We've got a Bible believer. Did you not know in Joel, and Joel had probably a better view of the end days than any prophet. Because he, that second chapter, you know, it tells about the Holy Spirit poured out in the last days and so forth. And Peter quoted that on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:17, Joel 2:28 and 2:29. All right. In the first chapter of Joel, it said, the palmer worm, the canker worm, the locust, the caterpillar, my God. What one insect leaves, the other comes and gets. Said the fields are all barren, and the vine, and all. But keep reading. You get about verse 11 and 12, and it said this. Joy had ceased from the sons of men. Here's the natural and supernatural. You say, Brother Humbert, I don't have anything to rejoice in. That makes no excuse. The Bible in Philippians said, rejoice, and I say unto you again, rejoice. In Psalms 27, it said, one of the sacrifices you never hear is the sacrifice of joy we give God. When things happen good, I have joy. You don't even know what the joy of the Lord is. The world has that. When good things happen, oh boy, I'm happy. Bad things happen, that's when you need the joy of the Lord. And if you don't start proclaiming it and rejoice and giving Him the sacrifice of praise and the sacrifice of joy, you'll stay right where you are. Nature does not allow a vacuum. Neither does spiritual law allow a vacuum. And when you don't praise God in your hardship, you know what? More things keep rushing in. And then the enemy of sin, the enemy of sickness and disease, the enemy of demon power, the enemy of fear and destruction, the enemy of the old nature and the carnal nature, the old man, the enemy of poverty, and the enemy of death. But thank God, the psalmist said, bless the Lord of my soul, forget all His benefits, who forgiveth some of thy iniquity. No, all. Who healeth once in a while a little disease, a headache or a cold. No, who healeth what?
All
our diseases. Now, the next thing says, who redeemeth? What is redemption? Go to Leviticus 17 chapter and go to the other portions of God's Word. Redemption is by shed blood. Poured out blood. And we as New Testament believers, it's not a heifer, it's not a lamb, except the Lamb of God. And it's the incorruptible. And Peter said, precious blood. Precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not redeemed by silver and gold, but the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here the psalmist said, Psalms 103, who redeemeth thy spirit? No. Who redeemeth thy soul? No. That's part of it. But he said, redeemeth thy life, earthly life right now. From what? From destruction. What's the greatest destruction that can happen to me?
Death.
God's going to have a generation arise in this end time that's going to start believing God and read the rest of that. And He said, He satisfied thy mouth with good things so thy youth is renewed like the eagle. Jesus said every scripture had to be fulfilled. That's got to be fulfilled. The aging process. See, the resurrection power lifts up everything on this earth, presses us down. The news presses us down. The relatives press us down. The old automobile breaking down presses us down. Did you ever hear of bags above the eyes? No. All of nature and all pulls you down. Before long, if you're not careful, you'll be walking this way. Then this way. Then you can't straighten up at all. That's why I tell Christians, you get up every day and lift holy hands without wrath and without doubting. This is the day the Lord hath made. We rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God, praise God. And don't say, well, my rheumatism, that's saying, Fido, come on, come on. You start talking about your age. Well, my age, what do you expect? Listen, I expect the promise of God. I asked those women that said, what do you expect about our age? I said, please take my Bible before you leave this building and mark the promises of God that are for you if you're under 40, under 50, under 60, under 70, under 80. Medical science now recently again has said there's no excuse for the human race not to live at least 140 years. See what the church won't preach? Finally, he has to have the world drag the church in. But we ought to be forerunners out there declaring the grace of God. And that Bible, you know, the old song said, never grow old, but it finally says, never grow old, never grow old in the land. This is the land where we ought to never grow old. Psalms 84:11 said this, God will give grace and glory. That resurrection power, Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. You say, well, the devil makes it tough on me. Well, didn't Colossians 2:15 said that Christ, put a little study in that. Actually, what it said, he spoiled principalities and powers. But what it really said, he stripped the robes of authority. You ever hear of anyone streaking at a ball game? Did you not know when Christ left those grave clothes, still bound, the napkin still bound, and he raised from the dead, he stripped Satan of all of his clothes. And a devil and demons of hell are nude as they can be. Jesus said the devil's a liar. He says, boo, no, pray for me, all the hell turn. He say boo-boo back to you. I like my one Martin Luther, woke up from his sleep and the devil was there, manifesting himself in a visible form. He just turned and said, oh, you again, went back to sleep. He didn't even get up and rebuke him. Best way to ignore someone is not paying attention to them. That's the biggest insult they can have. So when the devil comes, say, devil, I'm not going to. Well, my grandma had this, and I guess I'll get it. Here, Fido. Fido, keep talking to the little dog, and he'll come running. You don't even have to call him. So you don't talk about old age. You don't talk about sickness, disease. You talk about the Lord and resurrection power. So Jesus on that resurrection day said, oh, joy. Many things I'd like to say, but I open with a statement that I don't preach on the resurrection except Christ is the resurrection. Some author said in Genesis, he is the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's our high priest. And in Numbers, he's the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he is the prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, he's the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he is the judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, he is our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he is our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he is our reigning king. In Ezra, he is our faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he is the rebuilder of the broken down walls of human life. In Esther, he is our Mordecai. In Job, he is our ever-living Redeemer, because Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. In Psalms, he is the great shepherd and the good shepherd. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he is our wisdom and righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. In the Song of Solomon, he is our lover and bridegroom. Psalms, the second chapter said, kiss the Son. Unless he grow angry, you perish in the way. Kiss Jesus. The Holy Spirit will show you what this is about. In Isaiah, he is our righteous branch. In Lamentation, he is our weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he is the wonderful wheel in the middle of the wheel and the four-faced man. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in life's fiery furnace. In Hosea, he is the faithful husband forever married to the backslider. In Joel, he is the mighty one that baptized you with the Holy Ghost and fire. In Amos, he is the burden bearer. In Obadiah, he is mighty to save. In Jonah, he is our great foreign missionary. And in Micah, the messenger with the beautiful feet. In Nahum, he is the avenger of God's elect. In Habakkuk, he is God's evangelist crying, revive thy work, O God, in the midst of the year. In Zephaniah, he is our Savior. In Haggai, he is the restorer of lost heritage and the builder of the temple. In Zechariah, he is the fountain open in the house of King David for sin and uncleanness. In Malachi, he is the Son of righteousness that rises with healing in His wings. In the New Testament, in Matthew, He's the Messiah. In Mark, the Wonder Worker. In Luke, the Son of Man. In John, the Son of God. In Acts, He is the Holy Ghost. In Romans, He is our Justifier. In 1 and 2 Corinthians, He is our Sacrifice. In Philippians, He is the God who supplies all our needs and fills us with joy. In Colossians, He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, He is our King who is soon coming. He's not a soon coming King. He's already a King. The church won't acknowledge His kingship. He is presently the King of kings and the Lord of lords. In 1 and 2 Timothy, He is our mediator between God and man. In Philemon, He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In Hebrews, He is the giver of the blood of the everlasting covenant. In James, He's the great physician that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. In 1 and 2 Peter, He's our chief shepherd who shall appear with unfading glory. In the Epistle of John, He is divine love. In Jude, He is the Lord coming with 10,000s of His saints. In Revelation, He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is Abraham or Abel's sacrifice, Noah's rainbow, and Abraham's ram. He is Isaac's wells reopened. He's Jacob's sepulcher. He's Moses' rod, Joshua's sun and moon that stood still. He is Elijah's mantle. He's Elisha's staff. He's Gideon's fleece and Samuel's horn of oil. He is David's little slingshot and Isaiah's fig pole. He is Hezekiah's sundial and Daniel's visions, Amos' burden, and Malachi, son of righteousness. He is Jesus of Nazareth. He is the father of the orphan. He's Peter's shadow. He's Stephen's signs and wonders. He's Paul's handkerchiefs and aprons, and He's John the Revelator's pearly white city. He is the traveler for in the nighttime for the bride, and He has the bride in morning star. He is the lily of the valley, and the bride in morning star, and the rose of Sharon, and He's honey in the rock. He's the brightness of God's glory, the express image of God's person. The King of glory, the pearl of great price, the rock in a weary land, the cup that runneth over, the rod and staff that comfort, and the government of our lives is upon His shoulder. Who is this man? It's Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the living God, my Savior, my companion, and my everlasting God. He said, I am resurrection and life. Lord, I pray that You'll bless this message. I pray that everybody that's been in these prayer meetings early and sit under the sound of these wonderful men of God, I pray that the first step they take out of this building, that they will recognize through the ministry of the Holy Spirit that they're changed, that it's a new day, a new walk in faith and in love and in power and in resurrection power of Almighty God. Grant it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, Paul said he received this not of men. No doubt he did talk about that last supper in the upper room with Jesus and his disciples, the ones that are there, but he said what he received here, God gave him directly. And he said that the same night that Christ was betrayed, he invited them to participate in the Lord's Supper. To me, there's three ordinances in New Testament Christianity. One is water baptism. If you haven't obeyed the Lord in water baptism, don't argue about it, refute it. Don't worry about the formula used. A deaf and dumb man could baptize a deaf and dumb person, and he can do it in Jesus' name and in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So just obey God. Obey God and be baptized. That's one of the ordinances. He that believeth and is baptized, Jesus said in Mark 16 chapter. All right. Then another is the Lord's Supper, which we're going to participate in now. Christ established. And I firmly believe the other ordinance was, he said, the children will fast after he had left. I believe it's fasting. You just do without food. You drink water. It won't kill. Oh, it'll kill the old man. It'll kill the world. Well, I get an awful headache. It'll pass quickly. I get sick at my stomach if I don't eat. Then the Bible said the belly is their God. That's what the Bible said. I'm not saying it. But I'm just repeating it. So, to me, you're not on a real fast. You fast about 3 days and nights. 3 or 4 days and nights. There is the Prophet Link Day fast, and that's 40 days and nights. And the human body, God wound it up for 6 days running. Then the Sabbath day, or one day, he wants us to rest. None of us do that, do we? Just go, 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 go. And it's crying shame. If that car of yours in the motor just goes, goes, goes day and night, it won't last too long. So, fast gives the body a rest. Drink water. If you get a little sick, that'll pass. That's the toxins breaking up in your body, the poisons getting out. That's what makes you sick, not fasting. Those things that don't belong in your body anyway, those toxins leave. And if you get sick, use a little sense. Take grape juice or something else and color a little water and just drink a little of it and get settled down. Or just say, thank you, Lord, you'll take care of this. Sometimes I've been sick, not at all. Other times, just a few minutes. Once, almost all day when I'm fasting. I fasted 21 days, and my personal physician heard about it years ago, and he sent a nurse, or sent me. He wanted to know, first of all, if I was going to be in town. And he had a big clinic. And he said, there, we're even going to take blood samples every day. It re-educated him, a graduate of George Washington Medical School. He said, I didn't believe anything they didn't teach in medical school. But they analyzed the blood, and he said, other than riboflavin slightly off and iron slightly off, said, how did the physical body make all these ingredients when you haven't eaten a thing? Just drink water for 21 days. I'm not trying to attract attention to self, but I want to tell you, you have three consciousness. You have world and other consciousness. You have God consciousness if you're born again. Then you have self-consciousness. And I want to tell you, boy, that self-consciousness finally leaves you in others' consciousness. You don't care about that. You become more and more God-conscious. Fasting and prayer is wonderful. It's glorious. So that's one of the things. But now we're faced with Holy Communion. And Paul said that the Lord delivered this to him directly. Isn't that wonderful? I don't know if it's a dream or vision or what. But Christ appeared to him and told him all about this. And he told these Corinthians, when you come, not to, just to eat and so forth, but when you come and partake of the Lord's table, he mentioned the symbols of the wine or the grape juice. And in the Mideast, they call grape juice wine anyway. And the wine in Israel, you could drink a gallon of it, the native wine, and you wouldn't be drunk. See, Americans drink to get drunk, whether they want to acknowledge it or not. But the grape juice are the fruit of the vine and the unleavened bread. And we have to come, he said, don't come frivolously to the Lord's table, not discerning the Lord's body. And that means a lot of things. Actually, the bruised, broken body of Christ, and also the body, the church. There's no such thing as closed communion except this is for believers. But it does say that you come and examine yourself. Not by man's standards, but face to face before God. God, I want a pure heart. You might say, well, none of us are really worthy to take the Lord. That's right, we're not. But through His grace, He still bids us come and said, as often as you do this. But if you have sin in your life, and you know, I was highly criticized in Ohio at Calvary Temple for many years because we always gave an invitation with communion too. But I must explain this. I plainly said clearly that if you'll repent of your sins right now and ask God to save you, I invite you to seal it by taking Holy Communion with the body of Christ. So even a rank sinner here, just say, Lord, I mean business. You will help me. And I surrender all. Save me from my sins. You're Lord and Master. You're welcome. But the Bible tells us that many are sick, and it says asleep. That means death, because they partake unworthily. You and I may feel unworthy, even the most spiritual person here, but see, it's through Christ and faith. And this is a cleansing process. It's not just a crown of honor to show who you and, you and I are. But God has many benefits, and we invite you to take of Holy Communion. The fruit of the vine, the juice, represents the precious incorruptible blood of Christ. And if the Bible said, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then there shouldn't be a one of us weak or sickly after Holy Communion, because that bread is His bruised, broken body. And He said, by His stripes, ye are not going to be, you are healed. It's already there. Salvation already there. You just got to receive it. Healing is already there. I remember right here in Hot Springs, a very dedicated Christian woman, well known, she and her husband, by the name of Armstrong, over half a century ago, she got in a car accident, and she's all crippled up. She came for Holy Communion. Guess what? Doctors had said, you know, you may never get off of these crutches the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. She just walked out, praise God. Healed by. So it is a healing service also, for soul, spirit, mind, and body. And if you have ought against somebody, quit all those silly little games. Say, Lord, I'm going to take communion and you cleanse my heart. And do it, Lord, if necessary, on credit. But with your help, I'll go and make this thing right. As soon as I can. So we want you to take the benefit and also not only partake of the Lord's communion, but I'm asking if Dr. Noel and Brother Miller will pray after communion or with communion, a blessing on you and your family. That God will bless you. You're rising up and lying down. Bless the work of your hands, your feet, and bless you and your whole household in Jesus' name. Now please, because of time limitations, your problems and burdens are important. And you are important in the kingdom of God. But right now, during this communion, I ask that you just receive their blessings and move on. And unless a man of God stops you and asks you a question, just keep your mind on Jesus. Because I'm not superstitious, but sometimes I want to put an empty chair and lay a cross over and a crown of thorns on the cross to remind people of the presence of Christ in Holy Communion. Because don't tell me that He's not interested in what He gave His life and life blood for. We observe it. And if you'll just focus, forget you, forget your needs, forget your this, my, that, and the other. Just get your mind on God. Get out of self, into God, out of fear, into faith, out of the earthly, into the heavenly. And then you say, Lord, with fear and trembling, but I come. Thank you, Jesus, that you bid me come. Just as I am, I come. Then receive the blessings. And then slip away. So there won't be a whole lot of time spent with each individual. After all, we can spend an hour with you, but it's like rays into a lens. You've got to have a moment of decision. And that's what we want you to do. So lift your hand with me. May the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanse from all sin. Lord, our failures, our shortcomings, all of our disobedience, sins of commission, sins of omission, sins of disposition, sins of attitude, emotional sins, mental sins. That blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.